All right, this is Pure Decking show number 276 for September the 7th. Did we skip a show? No. Okay, just weird. It just happens to... Okay. September the 7th, 2017. This is Morps. The show... I've already fucked up the intro. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and wondering if we've hit the end game or if it's just the beginning of the end game. I'm Morps, and tonight we have been recruiting from the IRC. We have Cyberlard. Cyberlard, what are you drinking?
I've got Green Spot Irish Whiskey in one hand and Old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout in the other.
Damn, you're doing better than I am. I'm just drinking Devil's Cut. We have Fox. Fox, what are you drinking?
Vodka tonic this evening.
Excellent, excellent. And finally, we have the Madman. What do you got, Madman?
I'm drinking Outrageous Single Barrel.
Damn, everybody's doing better than me, hardly, here. So, anyways, we have been recruiting from the IRC. Cyberlord, you're new. Tell us about yourself.
Hello, my name is Cyberlord. I am called this because I thought of myself as a Cyberlord, but my wife said, no, you're the Cyberlord. That's about it.
Excellent, excellent story. And because I'm curious, how do you actually find the show? Because most everybody else we recruited from previous projects.
I just looked around a lot and found it. I honestly don't remember.
Cool. That's cool.
Morps's marketing is worth something, maybe.
What marketing?
Hey, spamming the subreddit.
I don't even do that. We had somebody
leaving,
else posting the show
random,
in the subreddit for a while.
G15 business cards around locations.
Oh, we did do that at Gen Con, yeah.
You know, I think I found it in the Cyberpunk Reddit subreddit.
Oh, that's right. Big Someone was posting went, yeah. it in there for a while, and we got feedback from people saying we weren't liberal enough to be Cyberpunk. No, I'm dead serious. We got a nasty email from somebody saying that we weren't nearly... or that we were way too conservative to be Cyberpunk. And it wasn't even my show. It was Lore.
Wow.
And compared to me and Madman, dude, Lore is not conservative at all. So, anyways, that's awesome. That's great. If Big ever shows up again, because we haven't seen him in a while, we'll have to let him know that his advertising worked. if I remember right, Lore is very he's libertarian when it comes to law and fiscally, but yeah, I don't know. He's kind of hard to pin down. But they've been defining politics so much lately. You know what? Fuck politics. Let's not even get into that. The lead stories I've got tonight are based on the Equifax data leak. I already threw the links out there, so I just need to do the IRC. Yeah, I did. Lore is alive. I got a message from Lore, by the way. He is, in fact, alive. He has confirmed this. Or at least somebody has control of his Steam account. So,
got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, you know. So, anyways, so this first article here is from TechCrunch. Data leaks have become so commonplace it's incredibly easy to become numb to them, but credit reporting service Equifax announced a doozy when it said it could involve 143 million consumers. I mean, holy balls.
Depending on what it is, Equifax has your checking and savings account numbers.
And it was a treasure trove of information for bad guys out there, and included social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and in some instances, driver's license numbers. As if that wasn't bad enough, 209,000 people had their credit card info leak, and the breach also included dispute documents with personally identifying information of 182,000 consumers. The information mostly came from U.S. residents, but a percentage also involves U.K. and Canadian citizens, and the company is working with authorities from these countries. Equifax reports that it discovered the leak on July the 29th and took steps to stop the intrusion. It then hired a cybersecurity firm to determine the extent of the intrusion and what damage was done. Sorry, Fox.
Good.
Where was I? what damage was done. The company reports that it has involved law enforcement, but it's not clear at this point how the intruders entered the system or exactly what they took. The company has set up a website, Equifax Security 2017, for people to check if their data was leaked. And when I looked at it, they're not actually telling you whether your data is leaked. They're giving you a date in which you can check and see if your data was leaked. So that's kind of sketchy. It is often the case after a leak like this, company is offering free credit monitoring and identity theft protection, which you may want to take advantage of if your information was involved. Not the worst breach of all time by a long shot in terms of pure numbers. That goes to Yahoo. But it's still a lot, and it's Equifax, not Yahoo email accounts. So the leak is particularly worse because Equifax is a credit reporting service, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, if you really want to fuck up somebody's life, get their credit history. Because everything you need right there to set up new credit accounts, because that's literally what they use to check it.
Yeah. Hey,
it looks like they were discovered after just 6 weeks. So that's quite a bit better than a lot of the other major breaches, right?
Well, considering the average time to discover a breach is measured in years, which I actually work in the industry, that's not made up bullshit statistics. That's real. In fact, most companies, intrusion detection system is the FBI showing up and saying, "Hi, we think this data is yours." So, considering that it's all, if it's all just in pure, plain old text or even structured data like a SQL or CSV file or something, 6 weeks is long enough to get all this shit downloaded. 143 million records zipped up would be, I don't know, at most a couple hundred meg, depending on how thorough it is. I guess if it's all like, well, hell, even if it's like screen grabs and like actual images of credit reports, it's only going to be like 1 and 2K. JPEG or TIFF or something. So, yeah, that's the crazy part is 143 million consumer records is actually probably not even. I mean, you could probably fit in a little, you know, 2 gig flash drive that you get for free at a trade show or something. But just to rub that extra little salt, that was from TechCrunch. This one is from Bloomberg. Just to really drive home the level of bullshit at some of these companies. Three Equifax managers sold stock before the hack was revealed. Three Equifax Incorporated senior executives sold shares worth almost $1.8 million in the days after the company discovered a security breach that may have compromised information on about 143 million U.S. consumers. The trio had not yet been informed of the incident, the company said.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's water cooler talk. It's like, huh.
You may or may not want to sell your stock tomorrow, Bob. Just going to throw that out there. Can't say but...
You're going to want to do it tomorrow because the memo's going out Wednesday. Just letting you know. So, the credit reporting service said late Thursday in a statement that it discovered the intrusion on July 29th. Regulatory findings show that 3 days later, Chief Financial Officer John Gamble sold shares worth of... Thursday. So they actually sold them on Monday. So Chief Financial Officer John Gamble sold shares worth $946,374. And Joseph Lundgren, President of U.S. Information Solutions... Information Solutions, what the hell do you think his job involves? exercise options to dispose of stock worth $584,099. Rodolph Polder? I suck at names. President of Workforce Solutions sold $250,458 worth of stock on August the 2nd. None of the filings list the transactions as being part of the 10B51 scheduled trading plans. So they were liquidating out for assets. They were getting cash. The three sold a small percentage of their Equifax shares. Inez Gutzman, a spokesperson for the Atlanta-based company, said in an emailed statement, they had no knowledge of that an intrusion had occurred at the time. Equifax said in its statement that the intruders accessed names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and driver's license numbers, as well as the credit card numbers for about 209,000 consumers. The incident ranks among the largest cybersecurity breaches in history. Equifax shares tumbled 13% to $124 in extended trading at 7:49 p.m. on New York. So, I'm a little disappointed that it was only 13% that their shares went down, because I much prefer seeing when a company, publicly traded company, has this kind of a breach that their shares, considering the legal fees and all the coverage and all the bad press, I think 13% is being really generous to what that stock price ought to be. It probably ought to tumble by like at least half. You know what I mean? I mean, Cycross is saying it might be half of the U.S. adults that got leaked.
Yeah, but don't worry. You can keep an eye on your credit score and look for any suspicious activities on Equifax.
Oh, wait.
Everything is fine here. Pay no attention to the charges behind the curtain.
One thing that's insulating them is there aren't a lot of companies that financial institutions use or are really allowed to use what Equifax does.
There's like three. There's
a Equifax, TransUnion,
yeah,
Equifax. So they're insulated from their stupidity by the whole too big to fail movement. And I'm not even sure how they got that way, because anyone that does finances can do what they're doing. Like if JPMorgan Chase decided, man, we really want to be a competitor to Equifax, they could tomorrow.
I think it's one of those, well, there's the risk reward though. If you're doing credit approvals and you come back and say somebody's good and it turns out they're not, doesn't your reporting suffer for that? Don't you like take a hit? Like if Equifax comes back and says Madman's an excellent risk on a home loan, and then a year later you've bankrupted, lit the place on fire, and fucked off to Australia, wouldn't that cause
Tuesday?
If enough people do that, then they might start questioning Equifax's method. But if I were to get approved for a loan and instead of buying a house, go blow it on hookers and cocaine and then shoot the president of some random company because he's an asshole, it doesn't matter. If I was that big of a credit risk, Equifax isn't going to be liable for anything.
No, they're not going to be liable, but I'm just thinking, you know, reputation is kind of the name of the game in a lot of the financial services industry. So,
well, reputation is the name of the game if you have someone else you can go to. So TransUnion might get a little bigger, but when it's already down to three, there's not a lot of shuffling around you can do.
That's a fair point. Go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say we should leave it to the government to take care of this credit stuff, because there will never be a breach then, but you know what? Maybe leaving it to Amazon would be better.
Well, Amazon just doesn't care. They throw everything in public S3 buckets already. Well, technically they don't do that. A lot of the customers who use them do that, but well, go ahead, Batman.
I was going to say the Defense Department kind of got breached. Everyone who has a security clearance from like the 1980s up to like 2015, your shit could be out there.
Well, I guess the kind of the issue would be if you thought like, well, let's let Amazon or Google or one of these other big data companies handle this, then you're trusting the algorithms that they'll write, because Google doesn't hire people, they write code. So same thing with Amazon. Or God, they could start Facebook. I could see Facebook getting into this game. Because they love doing that kind of shit. God. Oh, you don't have a Facebook account? No credit card for you.
That's incredibly cyberpunk.
Oh, you don't have your listener's license?
I see you haven't logged into your Facebook account from your mobile device. Why do you hate freedom?
You terrorist.
Why do you hate freedom?
That's about the argument they would use.
Of one.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
So, I think you're right. that it would be crazy cyberpunk for some of these, for like a Facebook to start doing this. I also think it's one of the more likely outcomes, because we're going to see this happen more and more, where old school companies, big companies, for one reason or another, cannot seem to keep up with the times. They have old business models. They're either not agile enough or not secure enough. I mean, for God's sake, if you go look at the credit system, it's a joke. They're trusting a magnetic stripe, which is the same technology we use in cassette decks, by the way, you know, to store numbers on the back of a card, and that's supposed to be a secure transaction method? Come the fuck on.
They're using a chip now, even here in the U.S., right?
Some cards. mine don't have it, or at least not all of them. The one I use every day still doesn't. But even then, half the places you see, you could go there, they've got a gift card or something jammed in the bottom part of the reader saying, our chip reader doesn't work, swipe. Because I guarantee any card you have that has that chip still has a mag stripe on the back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, you always fall back on that.
And I think that was a lot of places just like getting sick and tired of dealing with the mouth-breathing customer trying to figure out how to use the fucking chip reader. And it's like, no, it's broken. Just keep swiping. You've done that long enough. Start up and get out of my store.
Well, I think you're going to start seeing... I mean, I think cards themselves are just going to go by the wayside. You're going to start seeing people doing the Apple Pay or whatever Samsung's thing is. I forget. It comes up and bugs me every once in a while to set it up. And
pay through apps instead of through cards?
Yeah, because, I mean, ultimately all you're doing is giving them an account number and permission to use it, right? It's implied by getting that 3 or 4-digit code off the back of the card that they're never supposed to save, according to PCI, that they're supposed to, you know, that's permission to put a charge on the card. But that could easily be done digitally. I mean, it's like the old RSA tokens that people used to carry around. Now everybody has apps on their phones because nobody likes managing RSA tokens. So I think you're going to see credit cards go the same way, and that's fine, except...
I've seen cards now that they've got a little digital readout on the back, and that little 3-digit code changes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a real way to go. But even then, now you have to have a cell phone. Like, you can't... Unless you have a smartphone, you can't function. So... And pretty soon it's going to be, you have to have a certain kind. You have to have a modern smartphone. Oh, you haven't upgraded in the past 3 years? Yeah, we've changed the network since then. And if you don't run a modern build of Android or iOS or, you know, whatever the hell, BlackBerry OS or whatever comes back into vogue. Have the hipsters started using BlackBerries again yet?
No. But I don't think that route would actually make anything more secure or better.
No, of course it wouldn't.
Because... The reason these companies are being targeted is they have the information. So if you wanted to limit your data breaches, instead of relying on a credit score, you would go back to manual underwriting and actually do a debt-to-income ratio and then look, can you afford this loan, and have banks just do manual underwriting again. And that way there's no centralized location to attack to get everyone's information. Because we don't keep it and we don't care.
Yeah, how about double off? Double off.
Enter, multi-factor? That'd be great.
Yeah. You'd have to make sure to keep a battery backup of your phone all the time, otherwise you won't be able to pay for anything. But okay.
No, multi-factor is what you do today for any other account. Why not? I think that's a good way to go. Cycross says the hipsters are using Nokias. Okay, well, whatever.
I don't know. Multifactor might work with the TransUnion thing, except it wouldn't be multifactor with individuals, because honestly, they're not the ones using TransUnion. It's whoever's running your credit to do a credit check to issue you a loan.
Madman, we'll talk later, because I may have recently picked apart a certain mortgage system, and... they don't do any of their own processing. It's all outsourced. Literally, that thing has like 6 different integrations to third-party companies. And all they're doing is just passing that data off and letting the company do it as a service, and then they get it back and process it to the next step. It is nuts.
And damn it, that's even worse than what I'm thinking of just doing the credit checks, because that's too automated. If you want, one, a stable financial system, and two, a secure financial system, you want manual underwriting. You don't want a bunch of algorithms, because, yeah, they're less biased than humans, but they also fuck shit up.
Well, the thing with an algorithm is the way they develop them is they take a data set and then they work with the formula until they can roughly match that data set with the formula. So you have to, one, assume that you were starting with a known good data set, and if you started with a data set that had, I don't know, any kind of a financial or other bias in it, maybe for an element that you didn't consider when you were collecting your data. Yeah, I don't know. If I was building an algorithm and I only used data from 1 year for determining credit scores, as opposed to you spreading it out over decades, it might be good for the next year, but 3 or 4 years from now, it's going to be way off because it's not going to follow long-term trends, right? So, and same thing with any other algorithm. It's only as good as the initial data set they started with to develop their models. So I think it's one of the reasons a lot of people miss some of the crazy Bitcoin trading, is because it's not following any model. It's just going nuts. So, although I will say some of my own Bitcoin stuff I've not done terrible with lately. I went from $30 to $100, so hey, I'm doing all right. But I can buy beer.
So. Yeah, I always like when places accept Bitcoin, but I ordered some stupid shit with Bitcoin back when it was worthless, and now I regret it because I'd have like $100,000 with the amount that I paid for a pizza.
You're not the only one who's made that kind of mistake. We've got a few other people on the channel who did that. Ordered some. What was it Suave ordered?
Fox, I'm not sure what Suave. I think it was socks.
Yeah, it was something stupid. And, you know,
there was that sock company. They were like the first ones to accept Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it was like when Bitcoin was like $2 for a coin. And he bought like $30 worth. Bought these socks. And then, you know, today you look at it and it's just like,
for the price of my socks, I could have bought a house. Although, my favorite one, I don't think it was someone from the channel, but I heard dude cashed out Bitcoin at an ATM, because there's some ATMs that do that. I don't know, sure, if they still do with how volatile it is, but cashed out some Bitcoin and bought weed. It's like, no, that's the most expensive sack of weed you will ever smoke in your life.
Oh. All right. So, yeah, You might go to the Equifax website that they've set up and see if you're affected. Given the numbers, good chance you probably are if you have a credit card, credit report, ever done any kind of a major financial transaction.
Yeah.
So,
and as far as Cycros, the good percentage of adults, I think the U.S. population is 360 million. So, yeah, close to half.
So what do they suggest you do if you are affected?
All you can do is monitor your credit and just make sure you're the one applying for shit.
Use Experian, basically?
Basically. That's actually the company a lot of them go to, a lot of different industries go to when they, Experian, I think Equifax actually sold credit monitoring for a while. What was
if
the other one? LifeLock?
Truly, yeah. Worried? Put a stop with the credit bureaus so that any company has to do manual underwriting, and then you're protected.
You also probably get turned down for a lot of shit, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a bitch. You're not going to be able to walk up and say, hi, I want this credit card. You'll walk up, apply for the credit card, and find out 2 weeks later whether you received it or were denied. So instant credit's gone, but how often do you truly need instant credit?
Probably not that often, but I'm also thinking you're going to have a lot of companies that will just refuse to do business with you if you require manual underwriting.
Yeah, it's going to be a smaller company that's probably not doing much anyway. Because with, at least when it comes to the banking sector I'm in, smaller upstart banks, that's the way they get their business. Because because with manual underwriting, if you have someone with no credit history, you can give them a loan, and you can give them a loan at like 3% because they have no debt-to-income ratio. They have no debt in their income ratio. It's all income.
I got you.
A lot of when it comes to car loans, mortgages, student loans back when those were private, manual underwriting was what you would try to request because you could get the best rate and anyone could get it if you had zero credit so long as you had an income.
So I'm waiting for somebody to pull a Fight Club and just delete all of the credit histories.
Personally. Oh God, that would be horribly wonderful. Something similar to that's going to happen when the student loan bubble finally pops.
Alright, first news story is from East Bay Times. Brentwood, staff at the Hampton Inn of Brentwood found something unusual when collecting the linen from a recently vacated room. Three pillowcases filled with stolen mail. On August 9th, Brentwood police were called to the Hampton Inn at 7605 Brentwood Boulevard after the staff found drugs and three pillowcases filled with the suspected stolen mail from residents in the East Bay. Police investigations found the suspects booked the hotel rooms online with fake names and then used the hotel's phone app and Wi-Fi connection to access the rooms without a key. After the guests checked out, the pillowcases filled with mail were found. According to police, none of the mail was connected to the Brentwood residence, but several articles of mail were addressed to Concord residents. The Hampton Inn in Brentwood uses the Hilton Honors Digital Key app that can be downloaded to either iPhone or Android and lets the users unlock the room without checking in or out at the front desk. Since the digital key technology was rolled out in 2015, it has expanded to more than 1,000 hotels and looks to reach 2,500 by the end of 2017, according to a news release by the company. Case has been handled over postmaster's office for mail theft. Could be a felony. So the interesting thing here, in my mind, is that because they're trying to be more convenient with these apps, they're actually making it easier to use fake identity to do things like get hotel rooms and, you don't even have to check in at the front desk. So usually the security cameras, they'll have a couple in the hall and they'll have them at the front desk. But depending on when you check in and out, nobody's going to notice you walking in there covering your face with a hat or a jacket or ski mask. Well, I guess middle of summer might be a bit weird. But like if nobody's physically seeing that until they go back and review the tapes, they're not even going to have pictures of you. And if you're good about that, well, shit.
Depending on where you are, wide-brimmed hat is not weird.
True. True. So.
Well, this falls into the paying with your cell phone now. Is, the cell phone authentication isn't enough to identify you as you, so now they have to go to biometrics.
Oh, you have to do a thumbprint every time you want to open the... But the thing with the thumbprint readers, I mean, it's your thumbprint. All the phone is saying is yes or no. It's not...
No. Like, in addition to your phone, you authenticate and you pay with your phone, but you also have, instead of a PIN now, it's going to be biometrics.
Like, please insert your dick into the hole so we can make sure it's you. Wait, what?
Well, it depends on what services you're buying. I'm not bringing up Vegas or anything like that, but whatever floats your boat.
Emergency.
So I'm going to rebuild the broadcast box with a different system. This one's getting glitchy.
Just a bit.
Wondering how are they even trying to match this up with people? Is it just like, can I get your ID number to confirm that you're you?
Because credit card.
Oh, that's even worse.
They're like checking in online, checking in with their app, probably a stolen credit card, using the app on probably a stolen phone, and just opening the door without ever having to go to the front desk, talk to anybody, present real ID.
We figure it's like an RFID broadcast, and the doors at the Hilton are probably only assigned like a specific range of RFID tags that they'll go to, so they probably just have like a brute force thing that just like scans through the channels of RFID signal until it picks one that the door likes and lets you in.
Nah, most of the time when you have an RFID based lock system, it actually works from the reverse way you would expect. Pretty much the door has a code and you run the company's app. You scan the code with the RFID reader on the phone, and the app goes out to the internet in this case over Wi-Fi, and says, "Hi, I'm such and such, and I'm standing at this door. Unlock it."
Hmm.
So I've looked into a couple of these different key card systems, and the RFID ones are, that use your phone, are all fucking backwards. The authentication is done on the phone. It's like, my God.
Yeah, so that's not easy to, you know, spoof anything.
I know, you can get all the numbers, though. So if you get all the numbers, or you just, you know, pocket somebody's phone, happen to get it when they've got it unlocked or something, I mean, you know, yeah, locking the phone's a great security step if somebody remembers to do it. How many people... Well, okay, just think about when you work in an office, how easy it is to go around and hassle off other people's desktops.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, cell phones, I imagine, are just as easy to pull off, but, you know, set to...
Like, you know, especially
set,
you know,
set, set the language
like the...
to simplified Chinese, or, you know, just as an example.
Well, I'm saying, like, the people that use, like, the swipe gestures to unlock their phone, and there's normally, like, a nice grease print on the screen that you can follow to...
Yeah, either upper left to lower right, or lower right to upper left.
So for the people who use the picture of their face, can you, like, just go on their Facebook and hold it up to the screen?
A lot of the phones can't tell 3D, so wallet-sized pictures work.
So, anyways, next one up is just stunning. Not so much because of what the EU president is suggesting, because we that shouldn't surprise anybody. It's just the country he's looking at for a model of how to run the internet. Council of European Union document leaked by State Watch on the 30th of August reveals that during the summer months, that Estonia, the current EU presidency, has been pushing other member states to strengthen indiscriminate internet surveillance and to follow in the footsteps of China regarding online censorship. You know, China, where you can be arrested for posting the wrong thing to fucking Twitter. Standing firmly behind its belief that filtering the uploads is the way to go. The president has worked hard in order to make the proposal for the new copyright directive even more harmful than the commission's original proposal, and pushing it further into the realm of illegality. According to the leaked document, the text suggests two options for each of the two most controversial proposals, the so-called link tax or ancillary copyright, and the upload filter. Regarding the upload filter, the text offers two alternatives. Option A maintains that the Commission's original proposal of having in place an upload filter which will be under the control of platforms and other companies that are hosting online content, though it removes mentions to content recognition technology. In reality, there is no way to prevent the availability, or another expression which remains in the text, of certain content without scanning all of the content first. Option B is, at best, a more extreme version of Option A. In fact, it seems so extreme that it almost makes the first option look reasonable. This may be the diplomatic strategy. This extreme option, the text attacks the liability regime of the e-commerce directive, which bizarrely would not be repealed, and leaving us with two conciliatory pieces of EU law, but adds a clarification of what constitutes a communication to the public. So, they would have the government filtering all content before it's allowed to be uploaded for option B here, if I'm reading this right. The proposals in this leak highlight a very dangerous roadmap for EU member states if it were to follow the presidency's lead. The consequences of these flawed proposals can be prevented if civil society and the EU raise their voices, blah, 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 blah. So pretty much the European Union is talking about setting up a China-like internet firewall for Europe.
It's going to be kind of worse. China, the government doesn't filter what you post before you post it. They just shoot you if you fuck up.
Yeah, it looks like they're probably going to do the, you know, the quote-unquote diplomatic thing, and they lead with option B. It's like, here's this batshit crazy idea, and everyone's going to freak out, oh my god, no. All right, here's a slightly less batshit crazy idea, which by comparison seems normal. You know, we're doing it for your safety. We're protecting you.
Go ahead, Simon.
You all notice the notification at the top. It has come to our attention that Breitbart.com links to this page. If you have arrived on this page as a result of that link, please note that EDRI supports fundamental rights and opposes bigotry, hatred, discrimination, and divisiveness.
You know, it doesn't matter whether any of that is true or not. It's just everyone has decided that Breitbart is racist, therefore it's racist. I mean, granted, they've got some questionable stuff on their website, but it's like anything coming from Breitbart must be racist, and we have to disagree with them, even though they're linking to us and giving us traffic and agreeing with us on this instance. Oh. See, this is why I try to stay away from the fucking politics, because it just gets stupid so fast. I don't care whether you like Breitbart or not. You shouldn't have to disavow any, you know, somebody who might be linking to you just because you host an article.
Yeah, you just say, this is one of the few articles on Breitbart, if you're looking at it, that's legit. The rest is crap.
Well, okay. Let's have some fun here. If what's the guy, the KKK guy they were giving Trump shit for? What's his name?
David Duke.
If David Duke came out and said he listened to Pure Decking, you know what I would say? I don't fucking care. It's like, do you agree with him? Probably not. I don't know. What's he said? It's like, what's he said about decking? I don't know if I agree with him or not. But, you know, if somebody came out and said, oh, he's listening to your show, how do you feel about that? Like, whatever. I can't control what the hell he does.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, oh, no, I don't like Breitbart linking to me. So what? It's a link. You can't control what they put on their website.
But they're letting you know about their feelings, which is more important than your rights.
You're right, and I want to punch you.
Thank you very much.
I want to punch me too. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
There is a solution for you.
Smoke weed.
Yes.
So, what was the story about before we got sidetracked?
EU's president is wanting to copy China as an example of how to deal with the internet.
Oh yeah, except he wants to filter prior to it being uploaded instead of after, which is stupid.
It's pretty much we don't control it. That's not right. We should control it. That's really what he's saying.
Well, I'm just thinking the way he wants to do it: of send us an approval for your post before you post it. Facebook will fight him on that. It kills their business model of post all your shit to our site.
Yeah, that's why they have two options. The, this sucks one, and the, oh, wow, this is a really dumb one.
It's like, well, if we have to do it, we'd rather do that one. So, but even that one's pretty dumb. It's just, you're right, it does kill Facebook's business. It kills the whole user-uploaded content model. It truly does. And, you know, you look at shit like, YouTube, you have to go to being an approved uploader. You have, any major media, you know, social media just is impossible to run at that point. And it's all about making sure that uploaded content is legal. Because, you know, they're initially approaching this as a copyright issue. That means that they have to be able to identify whether something is copywritten or not correctly, which, dear God, given the body of what's copyrighted today. Pretty much it would be a default assume that it's copyrighted and only allow its upload if you can prove it's not. Which, breaks the internet, just destroys it. Again, I don't think this is about copyright. I don't think this is about filtering what people say. I think this is about control. This is, you know, we don't have control of this. We should have control of this, so we're going to take it. I mean, for fuck's sake, how long before you start seeing regions just break off their network from the internet and say, no, we're not part of the internet anymore. That's dangerous and allows wrong think and hurtful words and copyright infringement. So we're going to set up the internet of Europe, which won't be connected to the real internet. And, you know, companies can provide their approved services on the internet of Europe or the internet of China or the internet of pick a country. North Korea. How long before we start seeing this shit? I mean, this could be it.
Well, I guess it's Tor from now on.
Yeah, that might be the answer. Although Tor's not exactly safe either.
Well, it's like the history of like radio or television. Like when any of those first came out, you know, you were free to broadcast on them, and then. Slowly but surely, you know, everything got lobbied in and regulated and things like that. So they're trying to pull the same shit here, but I don't see it taking off as easily, at least. I mean, the internet's been established as more of a free market for long enough that it's got its foothold in, and they can't quite deregulate it like they had the previous technologies.
The issue with TV is, at least there was an argument. You and I can't both be broadcasting on the same bandwidth in the same city, or neither of our shit's going to work.
I mean, how is this going to work? Are they just going to do they just want to do like HTTP? Are you still able to send emails back and forth? Or
IRC? No. You've obviously not been around people writing policy. They don't give a shit how it works. They're just going to write
down
what
they
don't
know how it works.
Yeah, they don't have to know. They're going to write down what it should do, and they're going to fully expect technologists to come up with it and make it work, because if they don't, they're going to jail.
Yep, if you use IRC from now on, you're going to jail.
Damn it, why did everybody suddenly log out of the IRC?
There's a party van outside right now.
Well, I'd be less suspicious of it if it just said FBI. This one actually says party van. What the fuck?
Free candy. They are supposed to go that way.
Wait a minute. Free candy's written in Sharpie. This can't be right.
You sent the wrong van.
It was the one I was most likely to get into.
You just knock on the door. Guys, you sent the wrong van. Try harder. So, all right, this one's just funny. Back earlier, I think it was last year, we talked about this guy who claimed he invented email and started suing people who disagreed with him.
Al Gore?
Say what?
He invented the environment. It didn't exist before him.
Oh, okay.
This guy's email. Something totally different.
A libel came on the part of Shiva... oh, dear God. I Drui? A-Y-Y... Shiva Bob, the self-identified inventor of email, was tossed out by a Massachusetts judge today, concluding a baseless suit filed against TechDirt back in January. According to the site, the judge also rejected Bob's request to file an amended complaint. Bob, a Trump booster and Senate hopeful running with a new race-baiting campaign hashtag... I've got to click the link and see what this is. I didn't see this when I was skimming earlier. Race-baiting campaign hashtag. He's running against Elizabeth Warren.
Hashtag fake Indian.
Oh, that's right. Elizabeth Warren did claim to be like a 16th Indian or something like that.
Yeah, she's a 1/16th Cherokee. I think her Indian name was Flaming Crotch.
Oh. Shit. A race baiting campaign hashtag has long and loudly sought credit for electronic mail, at times by muffling competing fact-based narratives.
We're diving into politics again.
A rocket snail. Why do you think I'm continuing to read the article?
All right, well, the hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, the latest suit took aim at TechDirt founder Mike Manskick over a 2014 blog post entitled "Why Huffington Post is Running a Multi-Part Series to Promote the Lie," or "Why is Huffington Post Running a Multi-Part Series to Promote the Lies of a Guy Who Pretends to Invent Email," and sought an award of $15 million in punitive damages, an amount likely to bankrupt the site. Disclosure: Gawker Media, the former owners of Gizmodo, and likewise sued by Bob. Gawker apparently settled with him for $750,000. So he had something to his lawsuits, because they got Gawker to settle with him.
Well, Gawker's not known for their intelligence.
Or legal prowess. Since they basically got shut down by Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
So. Judge Frank Dennis Seiler, IV, dismissed the suit for the... That is a hell of a name. Judge Frank Dennis Seiler IV.
Yeah, someone's got a little bit of an ego.
Dismissed the suit for failure to state a claim on Bob's part. A sensible conclusion, as nearly everyone but Bob points to technologist Ray Tomlinson as the inventor of email. Though nowhere to the tune of $15 million, winning this farce likely did not come cheap for Manskick. As Law360 reporter Brian Amar notes, TechDirt won the suit, but Judge... Slayer refused to toss out the case on anti-SLAPP grounds, which would have allowed TechDirt to recover the legal fees.
TechDirt
still had to pay their lawyers. So, congratulations to TechDirt and to Mr. Bob. We look forward to your handled defeat by Elizabeth Warren next year. Okay, well, there's your politics. So, yeah, Tech Dirt was happy this got thrown out as well, obviously. So, yeah, he's running against Elizabeth Warren, who's actually, as much as I don't particularly care for her message, is a skilled politician. And this guy's
also
obviously
an incumbent.
Yeah, and this guy's an idiot. So I think he's going to lose. All right, and finally, following this long waiting on my Ghost in the Shell prosthetic body to show up, Bionic Lens. This is from nextbigfuture.com. Bionic Lens makes vision three times better than 20/20. So they have invented an implantable lens for your eye to fix your vision, like really fix it, like, you know, million-dollar man vision. The Bionic Lens is a dynamic lens that replaces the natural lens inside the eye via one of the most common and successful procedures in medicine, cataract surgery. Once there, the lens restores clear vision at all distances without any visual quality problems. It can also auto... This is the cool part. It can auto-regulate within the eye by connecting to the muscles that change the curvature of our natural lenses, which allow it to focus at different ranges, potentially much wider range than our natural sight is capable of. In addition, because the bionic lens responds with lenses less than 1/100th the amount of energy of the natural lens, you can also focus on something all day without any eye strain. The bionic lenses could improve on the 20/20 vision threshold. Imagine that you can see a clock's dial 10 feet away, and the lens, you'd be able to see the dial in the same detail when it is 30 feet away. Future bionic lenses could also include projection systems that will give the users capability of projecting their phone screen or integrating NASA technologies to allow better focusing resolution than anything seen before, or even installing a system that allows for slow drug delivery inside of the eye. And here's the fun part. Initially, the system will cost $32,000 per lens, and that doesn't even include the surgery.
I mean, I just paid for LASIK, but I mean, if I can stream porn directly into my retinas and take drugs at the same time, I might shell out the $3,200 per lens.
They're getting a little future there with it, but what they've got is a replacement lens that is easier for the eye to work, and they're able to hook to the natural muscles that control your natural lens. But because it's so much easier to use with a little bit of practice and training, you could learn to use this lens to see better than your natural eye. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, like base value, it's fucking awesome. I am looking forward to the future applications of this, but
it's incredibly cool. But I'm a DIY kind of a guy. I self-host everything, so I don't want to fuck up my vision because I'm paranoid. You know, what are they going to do? Put like this something that monitors everything.
This is where you might want to phone a friend to help you install them. It's like, well, we couldn't afford any anesthesia, so we're just going to hold this ice over your eye until it goes numb. And it's like, this is in fact a hobby knife, but it's still sharp. So
we sterilized it probably.
I cleaned
first.
It off of a Bic lighter.
A Bic lighter, and we dipped it in some whiskey. It'll be fine.
Drink the whiskey as well. Help with the anesthesia.
So notice they said this: the $32,000 per lens doesn't include the surgery. So you could buy the lenses and then have a friend install them with the, you know, whiskey soaked hobby knife anesthetic.
Here I'm going for like discount auto assembly robot you got off of eBay.
Wait, does that say? I think that says $3,200.
Yeah, $3,200 per lens.
$3,200. What did I say?
$32,000.
Okay, yeah, I may have read it wrong.
Hell, $3,200. I'll do that.
I've been drinking all night. Shit. I don't know how that's any different.
I had to like,
you know,
count the numbers
night,
over. It's like, where's the comma go?
Okay, yeah, I fucked up. So yeah, $3,200 per lens. So it's not that it's not affordable. It's just it is kind of pricey compared to say LASIK. But LASIK's also a commodity now.
Well, I mean, no, actually, for the LASIK surgery, it runs about $4,000. So,
what's cataract surgery usually run? I mean, that's
well, that I don't have any data on, but I know my LASIK surgery cost me around $3,000
per eye.
Nope, that's both.
$3,000 for both.
Yep.
I'll tell my wife she can get a boob job if I get this. Maybe we'll split it in half. I'll get one eye, she'll get one boob.
Every case will be unbalanced. You get the lenses, but hey,
you could like augment reality, take care of that for yourself.
Well, that's when you get into the cyber dystopia where like everyone has the the cyber eyes, except for like the homeless people who can see that you're really living in a shack and filth, even though you think you're living in like a mansion, because that's what's projected over your vision.
So like it is today, but it just looks better to you.
Yeah, there you go. So instead of using drugs to alter your perceptions, it'll just be using, eye implants. Right.
Well, and no, the eye implants can give you the drugs.
Oh, well, there you go.
Probably turn different colors if you're off your meds. You haven't taken your happy pills today.
You're right, your eyes turn bright red as a warning to others that you haven't taken your pharmaceuticals. Yes.
And you must then, therefore, assume the party submission position and wait for your pharmacist to come by and administer your drugs.
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Thank you, Thigh Master.
All right. I don't know why I still find the Thigh Master thing so damn funny.
Because it is.
Well, I mean, they were talking about it before the show. We could do the old school pure decking intro if you guys want to just be racist for like a minute.
Oh, really? Oh, please. Yo! Hadouken! Most honorable digital dojo.
Oh, I need a gong. Anyways. So the first thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is a PowerShell script called Lucky Strike. It says all of your pain in one macro, so I'm pretty sure they're making a cigarettes reference. Lucky Strike is a PowerShell-based generator of malicious XLS documents, and also soon to be doc. All of your payloads are saved into a database for easy retrieval and embedding into a new or existing document. Lucky Strike provides you with infection methods designed to get your payloads to execute without tripping antivirus. See the installation section below for instructions on getting started. Generating a malicious macro document is something that every pen tester is well acquainted with. We use malicious macros all the time to gain footholds when other attacks won't work. We decided it was high time we had a tool that would automate as much as possible, allowing us to reuse the payloads and include as many built-in AV evasion techniques as we could. Lucky Strike is a menu-driven PowerShell script that uses a SQLite database to store your payloads, code block dependencies, and working sessions in order to generate malicious Excel files. Requires Office, PowerShell version 5, and the PowerShell PSSQLite module. So, and they've got a link to the GitHub page. This looks like fun, especially if you're not particularly good at your VBS scripting.
Packages everything on your end, sends it across as a Microsoft Office file, and then opens it up on their end?
Well, no. The idea is you're going to generate a malicious Office document, right? So I'm going to make an Excel file. I'm going to email it to you, pretending to be your HR company, and say, and you name it something along the lines of this week's layoffs, so that you're going to open that Excel file, and it's going to contain my malicious macro that's actually going to run Meterpreter, and I'm going to get a shell on your computer, and now I can do horrible, evil things to you, such as setting your wallpaper to that David Hasselhoff background.
That was already my background.
Oh, and steal all of your company's financial data and sell it on the Chinese black market.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
Well, that's why I said Chinese. I figured if I just went to the regular black market, most people wouldn't care. I mean, most companies already have their data being sold there, and it's like, yeah, well, whatever. So,
the commies have it.
That's right.
But so it pretty much prepackages everything for you to the document.
It generates the macro for you to paste into the document, but yes, pretty much.
Right, okay.
If you want to generate a malicious Excel file, this script is a quick and easy way to do it.
Gotcha.
A little bit script kiddy, but you know what? If you understand the principles behind what it's doing, I don't really mind you using the tool that much. As long as you understand what you're doing and you don't, knock shit over because you're being stupid.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Go ahead, Cyber.
I honestly don't get that whole spreadsheeting thing at all, like Excel, all that. I tend to use CSV files and Python. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, what the hell's wrong with you? But This is part of the reason why.
Oh, I personally find Python to be way more flexible than Excel, sure, but that's comparing a programming language. Well, I mean, that's comparing something along the lines of, say, Microsoft Access to, like, MySQL or Postgres.
Yeah, and this can run on Linux now because Microsoft made PowerShell executable on Linux.
Yeah, they did release a Linux binary, but I don't know that all the modules you need are there. So, and since it actually needs Microsoft Office, you probably still end up having to set it all up in Wine if you did need to do it in Linux. I think you'd probably be a little bit better off building a Windows virtual machine to build this stuff in, personally. But yeah. Anyway, so it's just a quick way of building the Excel macro files. And I can tell you, as I have worked in the financial industry, and I know other people who work in the financial industry, good luck ever getting Excel from their cold, dead hands. I actually had a meeting with Google, some Google sales representatives, I should say, and I'm still pretty certain that woman was a lizard. Like, I didn't buy into the whole lizard people thing until I met that sales lady. Fuck, she's a lizard. Anyways, and she works for Google. The lizards have taken over Google. I need a theremin. Anyways, when they're trying to sell a company the Google Suite and the G Suite apps, they're like, "Yep, we can replace everything for you, except Excel," because they know better. So it's so embedded that good luck ever getting it out. Because you got people who do macro programming. Actually, at a previous job, we had a guy who, I mean, he had an entire statistics program, databasing program. I mean, he had this massive, like I want to say the thing was 300 meg. It was close to the limit of what Excel would actually open size-wise, full of all these models and statistical programs and links to sources and all this VBS scripting that he had put together. I'm assuming by, like, Googling shit and plugging it in there, because I don't think he actually understood how computers worked. But he was using this to generate pricing leads and credit scoring and just amazing amounts of statistical data that they were using for pricing the services at this company I worked for at the time. So, it's crazy. But, I mean, it's amazing what some of these people come up with in Excel. So, anyways, the last thing I have for tonight is the Gentoo Men Programming, Computer Science, Wizardry, and General Technology Book Library. This is a somebody's basically private library that they've put up there. It is 3,616 files and about 35 gigabytes of computer books. And they've got a torrent, a magnet link if you want to download the whole thing, but they've got the library online, so you can just click browse this library. Let's say we got electronics, game development, information theory, information retrieval, math, networking, operating system, security, actual useful programming library. I like that they call that out for you. And computer architecture, graphics, history, cryptography, DSP collection. I mean, they've got all kinds of a whole section of algorithms. So, all kinds of IT books and just, just a nice collection there of PDFs and other ebooks, so that if you got a subject you're looking for, this is a good place to start for getting books. Electronic media is always good for this kind of stuff, especially when you can pull it all down and archive it off somewhere.
Yeah, I've had this for a while. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's not an unknown link, but I don't think I've done it on Decking before, so.
Better than what you find on GitHub.
Oh, like one of those awesome lists or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. We can't call it future news. CyberLard, closing thoughts.
I think I'm drunk right now.
Excellent. Good way to end the
Welcome to the club.
Fox, closing thoughts.
All right, my closing thoughts, future news. It's all going to be biometric scans in the future. Your payment chip is going to be implanted in your forehead or your hand or wherever the Bible says the bad people are going to put it.
Because the Bible knows best where the bad people are going to touch you. All things will be censored. You will need a listener's license. We're going to hell in a handbasket on a rocket ship. Hashtag not a real Indian.
Oh, I almost want to reactivate a Twitter account now just so I can start putting that on random shit. It's like, and you were fired. What? Fuck. They were watching it. Madman, closing thoughts.
After Europe imposes its new firewall rules, the sale of rice will go up 5,000%.
Wow. Oh, shit. Oh, we lost Cycros. Was he hit by the hurricane? No, he's back. He's back. About to say, he's mad that Cyberlord beat him onto the show. He's been following us for years. I don't think he's ever actually asked to be on the show, though.
I thought we've asked him to be on the show before.
Have we?
I think so, and he was like, no, I'm just going to stay in IRC. Fuck you guys.
I don't remember now. We could have. Hell. I get drunk enough to do random shit like register domain names and shit, so... Oh,
and
are
I'm
you
wrong.
Asked you? Okay. That's actually how we got the domain Galaxy 15 Radio. They were listening to the news story about the Galaxy 15 satellite, which they were worried had gained sentience. And I got really drunk and registered Galaxy 15 Radio.
Well, you're a good supporter of the Robot Uprising.
Well, we've always supported the Robot Uprising. That stupid joke has never gone away.
There's Fry's Electronics.
They haven't stopped paying us, have they?
Nope. They never started. That was the whole point. They had to pay us to not mention them.
I always shop at Fry's Electronics right after I beat children. But Fry's Electronics may or may not support.
I beat children at Fry's Electronics. Little bastards are in my way.
Which they also may or may not support. Remember, shop at Fry's Electronics.
I've never been checked out before.
One day we're just going to get an email. Quit it.
We realize you exist. Our lawyers asked us to send you this message.
Stop it.
Damn it!
Department of Stop It.
Fuck you, Protoss, and you're fucking stabbing my house's ass.
Hanzo's a cunt. Hanzo's a cunt.
Oh, wait, that's not the game you're playing. Yeah, close enough. All right, that's all I've got. That's all we got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it, peering every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 Radio site, which is probably the easiest way to get on the IRC if you're not well-versed in IRC. If you are well-versed in IRC, it's hashtag Galaxy 15 Radio on Freenode. Of course, the subreddit is... I have not been paying any attention to the subreddit. Have we even been uploading the latest... putting the links to the latest shows in the subreddit?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I get messages on Reddit from Cycros and a few others, so that's the easiest way to get a hold of me, at least where I'll see it. Or the IRC. You can just go on the IRC and message us, and I'll probably see that, maybe. I don't know. I leave myself logged into the IRC. I occasionally scroll through it. Barring that, help get in the IRC and ask when I'm feeling stupid, and you might even get on. So, because, hey, we're like
me,
random people
yeah.
on the internet. Why not? So, We've tried that before on other shows, Cyber, and we get people who come on and just, scream shit at the top of their lungs and then log out, and I'm like, okay.
That was RU's 4chan live, though.
They were specifically targeting 4chan with that show. That's true.
It was his Friday night mics. It was fucking amazing for a while. He would just go on 4chan, post the link, and said, come at me, bro. Run it through Skype and just like use burner Skype accounts, and people would log in, scream obscenities. He's like, all right, keep that up in the background for 20 minutes. And he disconnected. All right, he was a pussy. Moving on. Next caller.
Oh, yeah, I remember that because he asked me, it's like, do you care if I post links to stuff on Galaxy 15 to 4chan? I'm like, I don't care what you do. Go ahead. And then he started doing that show. So
when Sard, Failite, and I were down in Australia cruising with RU, we were re-listening to some old IHN broadcasts and things like that.
There are a couple of stories we covered early on. It's like, damn, I want to go look that back up and see whatever became of it or anything. But he started talking about the radio show he was listening to that spawned that as well. His just randomly going out on the internet and asking random people to come on mic and vent their shit.
Well, it could work out. So
yeah.
Anyways, so I'm going to, I think, hit the Pac-Man sound now. So that's it. We're done.